It's Another Side of Midnight.
Political humorist T.J. McCormick.
Now, to the Bernard McGurk Studios, here's T.J. McCormick.
All right, T.J. McCormick off tonight. Walter M. Sterling, a privilege to be with you at 5 minutes past the hour. Dubai, United Arab Emirates. The United States is participating in the Israeli strikes against Iran, according to the U.S. official and a person familiar with the operation who spoke on condition of anonymity to detail sensitive military operations. This is breaking news from Dubai. Israel launched a daylight attack Saturday on Iran's capital with a cloud of smoke rising from the city's downtown. The apparent strike happened near the offices of the Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. It wasn't immediately clear whether the 86-year-old Khamenei had been in his offices at the time. He hasn't been seen publicly in days as tensions with the United States have grown. But the attack comes as the United States has assembled a vast fleet of fighter jets and warships in the region to try to pressure Iran into a deal over its nuclear program. This is breaking news on the Red Apple Audio Network. Trump had wanted a deal to constrain Iran's nuclear program, and he sees an opportunity while the country is struggling at home with growing dissent following nationwide protests. Iran had hoped to avert a war, but maintains it has the right to enrich uranium and does not want to discuss other issues like its long-range missile program or support for armed groups like Hamas and Hezbollah. It wasn't immediately clear if Iran would immediately strike back, but it had warned that American military personnel and bases spread across the region would be targets for any retaliation. Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz described the attack as being done to, quote, remove threats. He did not immediately elaborate. In Tehran, witnesses heard the first blast by Khamenei's office. Iranian state television later reported on the explosion without offering a cause. Sirens sounded across Israel at the same time. The Israeli military said that it had issued a proactive alert to prepare the public for the possibility of missiles being launched toward the state of Israel. That is the latest that we have on our apparent attack against Iran and attacking the capital. The United States, summing it up again, the United States is participating in the Israeli strikes against Iran. Israel launched a daylight attack Saturday on Iran's capital with a cloud of smoke rising from the city's downtown. The apparent strike happened near the offices of the Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. I am Walter M. Sterling. This is the most aggressive attack that Israel, backed by the United States, has made against Iran militarily. And I will keep you up to date. Red Apple News will keep you up to date. The Red Apple information will keep you up to date through the night. Good evening. I'm just looking at some things to make sure I've got everything you need to know for now. Yeah, United States is participating in the attack. All right. Let me see. Good evening. Good evening. All right. Yeah, so I'm checking all of our sources. I'm making sure that we have everything up to date. Red Apple News will keep you up to date. I will keep you up to date. And I'd like to know how you feel about this. How do you feel about Israel, backed by the United States of America, militarily attacking Iran this evening? How do you feel about that? The number is 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. It's about time. That's how I feel about it. I felt that we should have militarily attacked Iran when they took members of our embassy hostage in 1980. I don't understand what we were doing then. I'll never understand why The president of the United States, Barack Obama, took $1 billion in cash, wrapped it up in saran wrap, put it on a gurney, and pushed it onto an airplane and sent cash to Iran on his last day in office. What was that about? Took $1 billion in cash, you know, money from your taxes. What happens when you're late with taxes? What happens when you misappropriate your tax money? Things don't go well. Things go downhill. He took a large amount of cash, at least $1 billion in cash, and sent it to Iran as like a gift. But he waited until his last day in office. That was the most amazing thing, not because he did it, because nothing would have surprised me, but because I didn't hear a big investigation from Congress. Did you? I didn't hear a big investigation. Wait a minute, Barack. Hey, Barack, that's our money. What are you doing there? What are you doing there with our money? Oh my gosh. I believe that we should have bombed Iran then. We should have bombed Iran then when they took members of our embassy hostages for years. I mean, how long were those guys? It was terrible. And that's when we should have put an end to it. Instead, we wanted to get along with Iran. We wanted to talk to the Ayatollah. We wanted to negotiate. There is no negotiating with them. There has never been negotiating with them. And, well, we need them for the oil. No, we didn't really need them for the oil. We have oil. Venezuela has oil. It made no sense. 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. It's a live telephone. It's a live radio show. That's the live line for you to share your thoughts, your feelings about the fact that Israel, backed by the United States of America, has done a military attack against Iran. Israel launched a daylight attack Saturday on Iran's capital with a cloud of smoke rising from the city's downtown. The apparent strike happened near the offices of the Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. It wasn't immediately clear whether the 86-year-old Khamenei had been in his offices at the time. He hasn't been seen publicly in days as tensions with the United States have grown, but the attack comes as the United States has assembled a vast fleet of fighter jets and warships in the region to try to pressure Iran into a deal over its nuclear program. We haven't liked the nuclear program. Israel has not liked the nuclear program. We had a precision attack that wiped out much of their capability in nuclear bombs and nuclear threats. And then we started negotiating with them after it was clear we were serious. And apparently, just a guess, the Ayatollah Khamenei has not expressed serious response. He has not expressed a serious response to our making it very clear that a nuclear program is not okay, is not going to be all right. We're not putting up with it, and it's about time. I don't understand why we haven't been not putting up with this for decades. Decades. 800-848-9222. Babylon, Edie, welcome to the other side of midnight. Hi.
Ed Foreman from Babylon, who took your saying gurney, and I've worked in a hospital. He took a pallet.
It's a wooden pallet. Yes, sir.
Sorry, no. That's okay.
But I don't think
that's in the hospital. But we have
no. I don't.
Paying someone off never helped them. They just made them more emboldened. I think.
Well, we gave them the cash to perform more military terrorist actions, didn't we, Eddie?
We funded them.
We funded them. Eddie, thank you very much for calling from Babylon, Long Island, in upstate New York. There's Morton. Welcome to the other side of midnight with Walter Sterling at 800-848-9222. Hi.
Good morning, Walter.
Sir.
Good to talk to you again. I agree with you. It's past time we did something about this terrorist regime there. It's way past time we did something with them. And I also have a thing I want to ask you about robots. Somebody on the radio station was saying that there would be robots doing everything in 10 years within 10 years. I think this is very bad. These people were saying it was good, but I think it's bad. What are people going to do with themselves? They'll be doing nothing, and the robots will be like, what do we need these people for? They're like the Terminator, and they're going to just say, why don't we just get rid of these humans? Just like the Terminator.
Hey, Morton.
Yes.
What will happen is that people will get even fatter.
Yeah.
People will eat more chips. They'll watch Pawn Stars more often, and Storage Wars nonstop. They'll watch Storage Wars marathons. Morton, thank you very much for calling The Other Side of Midnight with Walter Sterling today at 800-848-9222. Barry in New Rochelle, welcome to the big radio show. Welcome to the Red Apple Audio Network. Hi.
Okay, Walter, great show in this topic. First of all, let me throw something out there. Is it possible this war could be artificial intelligence? It's not really going on. Now, I'm only saying that. I know what's going on. But the thing is, people don't realize, like you brought up, the 1979 taking over of the embassy in Tehran and taking the hostages for well over a year until Reagan came in. And people don't remember, they flew the hostages out at 1201, 1202, 1203. Carter or Reagan couldn't really take credit for that. But the thing is, people have to realize that the lost a life of a Marine in Pakistan, a couple of weeks after that Iran attack in 79 in November. But the thing is, the wild card involved in this, that's why this drags on. We had Iran. Remember, we're dealing with moderates in Iran. There are no moderates in Iran.
It is pretty funny to think of somebody being a moderate. There's a lot of nonsense. And I believe there was a vast conspiracy when Reagan took over and then magically they were released. That was negotiated months ahead of time. They were probably paid to not release them until Reagan took over. That would be my guess. And I thank you very much for the call. At 800-848-9222. Here's an update, updated at 2:14 today, 2:14 today, East Coast time. United Arab Emirates, Israel, launched a daylight attack Saturday on Iran's capital with a cloud of smoke rising from the city's downtown. The first apparent strike happened near the offices of the Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. The United States is participating in the strikes. According to U.S. officials and a person familiar with the operation who spoke on the condition of anonymity because of the sensitive military operations, the White House declined to immediately comment. That's the first time Carolyn Leavitt declined to comment. It also wasn't immediately clear whether the 86-year-old Khamenei had been in his offices at the time. He hasn't been seen publicly in days as tension with the United States have grown. But the attack comes as the United States has assembled. Now, remember, we knew that we were assembling a vast fleet of fighter jets and warships. We knew it. It was no secret. The president kept saying, I'm sending warships there. I'm not going to put up with this because he's a president. That's what presidents do. He didn't sit around and say, you know, should I ask Nancy Pelosi for permission to do this? No, he's a president. So he sent fighter jets and warships in the region to try to pressure Iran into a deal. He said, listen, I have these giant ships here, and we're going to use them with Israel if you don't make a deal with us that makes us happy on nuclear capabilities. This is an update on the story at 2:14 today. Roads to Khamenei's compound in downtown Tehran had been shut down by authorities as other blasts rang out across the capital. Targets in the Israeli campaign included Iran's military, symbols of government, and intelligence targets, according to an office briefed on the operation who had spoke on the condition of anonymity. They should just be proud. Trump had wanted a deal to constrain Iran's nuclear program, and he sees an opportunity while the country is struggling at home. Iran had hoped to avert a war, but maintains it has the right to enrich uranium and does not want to discuss other issues, you know, other issues, like how they chop off women's heads if they say stupid things, like its long-range missile program or support for armed groups like Hamas and Hezbollah. I will keep you up to date. We're getting updates continuously. My phone number is 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. And let me just make sure I got everything I need to share with you tonight. All right, it's 21 past the hour, 21 past the hour. Walter Sterling for TJ McCormack on the Red Apple Audio Network.
It's Another Side of Midnight.
Abacus Global Management, we're reshaping financial planning around the most personal data point, your lifespan. But it's more than just insight, it's control. As a technology-driven asset manager, we're empowering investors with an integrated system to take command of your time, your future, your financial destiny. This is a new era of investing. Take control at abacusgm.com.
Listen to this podcast now on the Red Apple Podcast Network. The Leadership Thread with Dr. Peggy Polonis.
Elena Panariti, welcome, Elena. And thank you for joining us.
That the way we have actually lived our lives after 1945, we have gone to a point where poverty was reduced because of technological development.
Because 70% of the world is marginalized, and this is growing.
Download all of Red Apple Media's podcasts right now through your favorite podcast platform. It's Another Side of Midnight.
Political humorist TJ McCormack.
Now, to the Bernard McGurk Studios, here's TJ McCormack.
You and I are talking to Edward Jones, who is an expert on the most mysterious, bizarre radio transmissions imaginable, more mysterious than the things you hear on this radio network. Now, Edward, we're talking about numbers stations, CONET stations, number stations. And number stations are, well, what are they, Edward? What are they?
That's right, Walter. They're very mysterious. The stations that broadcast groups of numbers over and over again.
Now, are these on AM or FM? Where do I hear these?
Well, you can hear them on the shortwave, high-frequency bands, way above the broadcast network.
And when I listen to them, I've heard them from time to time, and I've played some for the listener. They sound spooky and scary. Is the purpose to scare a listener?
No, not really. They're very simply broadcasts from intelligence services in countries around the world, and they're a way of connecting with their agents in the field that are always listening.
So you believe that these signals give messages to spies?
Yep. Yes, sir.
And spies then do what with these messages, do you think?
Well, they're instructions to them, and they could be doing any number of things with the instructions.
Edward, why would they use today radio signals rather than coded messages on the internet?
In a lot of ways, the radio signals are safer and more secure than the internet, and they're cheaper. They're actually cheaper. It doesn't cost that much money to run a radio station to broadcast out around the world.
If you were to estimate, how many number stations do you think there are in the world? Does anybody know that answer?
I don't think anybody really knows the answer. They've been tracking them since the early 90s, and there's probably six or eight, maybe 10 at the most, prominent stations.
If you were to guess the countries that use them the most, which countries do you think are sending out these signals the most?
Well, it would be the U.S., the U.S., the U.K., certainly, Russia, Cuba has been known to be doing this. Sweden, the signals coming out of Sweden, the Cold War countries, the Eastern Bloc nations.
I noticed the Swedish ones. I heard those, and I'm like, why is Sweden sending out spy signals? Why would Sweden have spies? What do Swedish spies do?
They do the same thing that the intelligence services of every country does, and they have networks that cover certain parts of the world, and they share intelligence among them.
Are you sure these signals are not being used to get in touch with UFOs? You're sure they're not set up by extraterrestrials around the world to track and coordinate their efforts? You're sure?
Positive. No, there's no connection between the two.
And these are not NASA signals?
No, they're not.
So you're certain that these are spy signals, and they give out instructions to spies. Spies get coded messages, right? And
yes, that's exactly right. I mean, and we're talking here about the National Intelligence Services. So it would be CIA, it would be Mossad, it would be the Russian GRU, the military intelligence, those kinds of services.
How hard would it be to decode these?
Extremely hard to decode, almost impossible to decode.
Why?
Well, because they use what's called a one-time pad, meaning the agent in the field has a code, a cipher, that he uses to decode the groups. And that decoding aid disappears, vanishes after one day.
Now, if I ran these codes through an AI program, do you think an AI program could decipher it?
No. No, it's way beyond that.
Wow. Well, that's pretty amazing, Edward Jones. Any other thoughts about CONET signals, number stations that you personally find intriguing?
Well, there aren't that many of them around these days. So when I was coming up in the world of ham radio in the early 60s, mid-60s, we used these regularly for code practice, Morse code practice. They had their origin in World War II when the BBC newsreader would send out lines of poetry to French resistance in the field, and they would go into action when they heard the line they were listening for.
Now, you're a ham, right?
That's correct, yes, sir.
That's correct.
Well, I think you should give out your ham address.
W2LCQ, Whiskey 2, Lima, Charlie, Quebec.
I think you need to give it out again.
Whiskey 2, Lima, Charlie, Quebec, W2LCQ.
And you would welcome other hams getting in touch with you, Edward, right?
Oh, yeah, sure, absolutely, absolutely.
Because I'm the other kind of ham. And so I'm on this big radio station at this hour. I'll bet you another ham heard that address. I wouldn't be surprised if within the hour somebody tries to get in touch with you. Edward Jones, you're a good sport. Thank you so much for being my friend. You're a great friend. Thank you so much.
Oh, that's great, Walter. And thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate this. Lots of fun, as always.
Oh, we'll torture you again. Don't worry about it. Thank you.
Standing by.
All right, that's Edward Jones, an expert on CONET stations and number stations.
It's Another Side of Midnight.
Be impeccably dressed with a Bulova Frank Sinatra timepiece on your wrist, incorporating vintage designs with the iconic elements of the legendary performer. Mr. Sinatra's classic fedora and his signature are some of the standout details. The collection pays tribute to Bulova and Mr. Sinatra's relationship dating back to 1950s. Frank Sinatra wore Bulova watches throughout his life. They sponsored the Frank Sinatra Show. Today, Bulova honors Mr. S with watches named after some of his most beloved songs, Summer Wind, Young at Heart, Fly Me to the Moon. These timepieces cases come in both self-winding, automatic, or quartz movements. Beautifully presented in special edition packaging inspired by a record player. Bulova Frank Sinatra watches have a classic elegance like Mr. Sinatra himself. The full collection is available at Macy's and Macy's.com. Frank Sinatra's music and styling transcends generations. A Bulova watch is the perfect gift for someone you want to impress or just to say, I love you. Maybe you deserve a great watch yourself. Bulova really does make a fabulous gift. Go to Macy's for the full assortment of gorgeous Bulova Frank Sinatra watches.
It's Another Side of Midnight.
Political humorist T.J. McCormick.
Now, to the Bernard McGurk Studios, here's T.J. McCormick.
T.J. McCormick has the night off. Good for him. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. It's 36 past the hour. 36 past the hour on the Red Apple Audio Network. Major story tonight. All right. Now I have everything settled, I think. This is a major story. Israel launched a daylight attack Saturday on Iran's capital with a cloud of smoke rising from the city's downtown. The first apparent strike happened near the offices of the Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. The United States is participating in the strikes, according to the U.S. official and a person familiar with the operations who spoke on condition of anonymity. It was also wasn't immediately clear whether the 86-year-old Khamenei had been in his office at the time. He hasn't been seen publicly in days as tension with the United States have grown. But the attack comes as the United States has assembled a vast fleet of fighter jets and warships in the region to try to pressure Iran into a deal, to make a deal over its nuclear program. Roads to Khamenei's compound in downtown Tehran had been shut down by authorities as other blasts rang out across the capital. Targets in the Israeli campaign included Iran's military, symbols of government, and intelligence targets, according to an official briefed on the operation who spoke on condition of anonymity. Israel has attacked Iran with our backing. Now, Trump had wanted a deal to constrain Iran's nuclear program, and he sees an opportunity while the country is struggling at home, growing dissent following nationwide protests. Iran had hoped to avert a war, but maintains it has the right to enrich uranium and does not want to discuss other issues like its long-range missile program or support for armed groups like Hamas and Hezbollah. It wasn't immediately clear if Iran would immediately strike back, but it had warned that American military personnel and bases spread across the region would be targets for retaliation. They are threatening retaliation for American military personnel and bases spread across the region. As this story gets updated on the Red Apple Audio Network and this show, I will keep you up to date and our whole team is on this story. And it will be covered, and this is an amazing event. And in my opinion, long overdue. I'm Walter Sterling. In my opinion, this should have happened in 1980, when they seized our embassy, when they took our embassy officials hostage, and we mushed around. That's when the attack should have happened. But the quote, the fear was that members of our embassy, the hostages, would have been killed. That was the fear. That's a good fear. The minute they were released, that's when we should have leveled the place. I don't know what sort of deal the Reagan administration made to get those hostages out, but by that point, we were really desperate and anxious to get them out. And I would have given it a couple of days, and then I would have leveled the place. It's an evil access. It is an evil access, and I'm not happy we're attacking them, but it's necessary, because since 1980, we have danced with them. We've given them $1 billion. We have negotiated with them. We leveled their nuclear program. We did bomb attacks on the nuclear programs last year. Remember that? And President Trump had tried repeatedly to make it work. And apparently those negotiations didn't work, and this is the response from Israel with backing from us. I will keep you up to date. I'm Walter M. Sterling for TJ McCormack. It is 41 past the hour. This is the Red Apple Audio Network.
We have no break. Keep going.
Really? All right. There's been a lot going on here tonight, and I thought we had a break, but we did not. So let me share some other information with you. One second. Hold on. Oh my gosh. Debating what it is in light of this news, what it is that you and I should talk about. And in light of this news, Let's see. Do. I know. Hold on a second. Da, da, da. And you and I can talk at 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. And let's see. Hold on a second. Ah, okay. At this time, we like to talk about other things. I believe right now, what you and I are looking at is one level of reality. It's one level of reality. Have you ever had ultraviolet light or infrared light and you see a whole different world? It's like, what is that? And I believe that at any given time, you and I are looking at many different realities. And one of the interesting phenomena that I witnessed with my toddlers, and maybe you did too, that I saw that I was like, whoa, and that I remember from my childhood, that I believe that when we're born with a memory of the life we had before. And that sometimes toddlers say things that maybe parents ignore and pretend didn't happen, but did happen. I was talking to my two-year-old daughter. Maybe something like this happened to you. I was talking to my two-year-old daughter years ago, obviously. And she said out of nowhere, she said, you know, I picked this family. I'm like, what? I chose this family. I could have chosen a different family, but I chose this family. And I think I should have chosen the other family. And she meant it. Apparently, in her memory, there was another family that she could have chosen. Now, maybe your kid said stuff like that to you, and I don't think it's wise to ignore it. I think there's something to it. That same daughter, a couple months later, at twilight, she was sitting on the counter in the kitchen, and somebody who was over for the first time, that she didn't know, she was sitting on the counter, but it was twilight. And I think that time of day is important, because think about your older relatives. Think about your grandfather, your dad, or your mother. They had the twilight effect. Many older people have the twilight effect, that their memory starts to go around 6 p.m., 7 p.m. They don't remember where they are, what they're doing. My dad was driving around his hometown when it was about 6 o'clock, and he got lost. His hometown, it was Summit, New Jersey. He's driving around Summit, New Jersey, and he says, how did I get lost in Summit? And it was 6 o'clock. How did I get lost at Summit? And people with Alzheimer's, dementia, even mild memory problems, it seems that going from afternoon to evening is a challenge. It's a particular challenge. My two-year-old was sitting in the kitchen, and we had a friend over. And out of nowhere, she starts speaking with a thick French accent and pretending to smoke a cigarette in a cigarette holder, the way Gloria Swanson would in one of those old movies. She's holding that up to her mouth, and blowing out smoke. And she says, Monsieur, very good to see you. Welcome to my home. And she's speaking with a French accent and using French words and pretending to smoke with a cigarette holder. Now, none of us had ever smoked with a cigarette holder around her. None of us spoke French. Did you take French in school? That was the biggest mistake I made in school, besides not asking Candy Jones out. Besides not asking Candy Jones out, the biggest mistake I made in school was taking French. There was a social studies teacher, Mr. Savage. Yes, that was really his name. And Mr. Savage said, take Spanish. I'm like, oh, okay. He said, take Spanish. You got French, Latin, Spanish. You should take Spanish. And I'm like, okay. I didn't want to take Spanish. Now, his reasoning would have gotten him fired today. Mr. Savage's reasoning for us to take Spanish was because all the helpers, all the people you hire, the help, waiters, waitresses, people who clean, they speak Spanish. You'll want to be able to speak to them. That was his argument. Even at the time, in eighth grade, I knew that that was a terrifying and possibly deeply offensive argument for taking Spanish. Of course, now I wish I had taken Spanish, but not for that reason. So I took French, which was a huge mistake. My kid, my two-year-old kid, she's speaking French on the counter. She's looking at my friend who was visiting us, looking at my wife, and we're like, what the hell is this? She clearly was channeling something that she had never experienced in this life. But it's something she had experienced in her previous life. And it was fascinating to see this. But she had also told us that she could have chosen a different family. And she chose us. And she regretted it. Did any of your kids do this? Did you have this experience? It's amazing what can happen. 800-848-9222. I believe that right before we're born, many people are aware of their previous life. And then right when they're born, they have memories of that life. And they hold those memories till they're three. Now, there are people like psychics and people who are experts in weird metaphysics. They will tell you that we come into this world with an awareness of the previous world. We come into an awareness of the previous time, that we see things, and this is the filter I was talking about, that we see things until we're three that get erased when civilization visits us, that gets erased when we become fully conscious of where we are. But the theory is that we're not fully conscious of where we are until about 3 years old. Before I was three. Now, I remember my life before I was three because we moved when I was three. Everything that was in our first apartment, I remember, and I know it stopped when I was three. I saw, and I made my dad deal with this. I saw in the closet and then in the middle of the living room through the carpet. Now, just listen. Stick with me here. It's 2:50 in the morning. Just stick with me here. I saw in the middle of the carpet a hand come up and move around and then go back down. And I saw it in the corner of the apartment. Hand come up, move around, go back down. I mentioned this to my parents, and I was the only kid, and I was their first kid, and therefore they believed all of this. My dad said, was the hand threatening? I said, no. Was it dirty? No. And what did it do? It just moved around. I am absolutely certain I saw that. There was another time I got out of the crib in the middle of the night. We had a little apartment. I got out of the crib in the middle of the night and walked around because I was fascinated by seeing everything in black and white. To me, everything looked black and white. And again, I wasn't afraid of anything, but my parents were like, how the heck did you get out of there? Hey, Tony, what time do I have to do something? Because I got confused there.
You have to be out at 5910.
But nothing before that, right?
Breaks.
What? What?
Go to 5910. You'll hear the back time music.
No, I got that. I just wanted to make sure there wasn't anything before that. All right, my name is Walter Sterling. Good evening. I am here for the great TJ McCormack. This is Another Side of Midnight. And you and I are together till 5 o'clock, and that's terrific. It's a big night. There's big news. Let me share some of this big news and some of these updates with you, because you need to, you want to be aware of it. You ready? And you probably have feelings about this, and I look forward to being able to hear your feelings. You ready? All right. In Dubai, Israel launched a daylight attack Saturday on Iran's capital with a cloud of smoke rising from the city's downtown. The first apparent strike happened near the offices of the Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. The United States is participating in the strikes, according to a U.S. official and a person familiar with the operation who spoke on anonymity. It also wasn't immediately clear whether the 86-year-old Khamenei had been in his offices at the time. He hasn't been seen publicly in days as tensions with the United States have grown. But the attack comes as the United States has assembled a vast fleet of fighter jets and warships in the region to try to pressure Iran into a deal over its nuclear program. Roads to Khamenei's compound in downtown Tehran had been shut down by authorities as other blasts rang out across the capital. Targets in the Israeli campaign included Iran's military symbols of government and intelligence targets, according to an official briefed on the operation who had spoke on condition of anonymity to discuss non-public information on the attack. This is an Israeli campaign. Included Iran's, they attacked Iran's military, symbols of government, intelligence targets, according to an official. We are backing Iran. We are backing Iran. But this is an Iranian campaign. This is an Israeli campaign. It's an Israeli campaign. This is a huge event. For the first time since, in my opinion, we should have, which was in 1980, Israel is attacking Iran's capital with backing from the United States of America. That's what's taking place in Iran right now. And in my opinion, this is long overdue. This should have happened in 1980. This should have happened after Iran captured our embassy and took embassy hostage. And then we had an endless negotiation to get those hostages back. We didn't get our officials back, our embassy officials back, until Reagan got into office. Once Reagan got into office, magically they were released. I can't imagine what that deal was, what that backdoor deal was, but at least we got them back and they were safe. The minute we got them back, in my opinion, we should have bombed and bombed and bombed until it ended, until the nonsense with Iran ended. And nonsense isn't the right word. The horror, the military operations, the terrorism, the funding of terrorists around the world that Iran apparently has been guilty of since 1980 and before. Why we didn't, I don't know. Why Barack Obama decided to put $1 billion on a wooden pallet and put it in an anonymous plane on the last day in office. Unbelievable. It was just like, you really? That's what we're doing? And what I can't get over is there may have been an inquiry or two in Congress, but I don't remember it. I don't remember it. The great outrage that should have happened when we put $1 billion of my money and your money on a wooden pallet in clear plastic wrap, no kidding, like kidnappers would have expected us to do, because they were kidnappers. The Iranians are kidnappers. They are just the worst. There's no such thing as a moderate Iranian. There's no such thing as a reasonable Iranian. And all of our diplomats were always saying, well, we could work it out. President after president imagined that they could talk it through. And finally, the president of the United States, Donald Trump, acting like a president of the United States, has said, we will back you, Israel. What you decide to do, we will back you. And what did we do? We sent in a fleet of ships, military, airplanes, jets, bombers, whatever Israel needed to deal with Iran this way had to be done. Roads to Khomeini's compound in downtown Tehran had been shut down by authorities as other blasts rang out across the capital. Targets in the Israeli campaign include Iran's military symbols of government and intelligence targets. According to an official briefed on the operation, they're always asking for anonymity. That's the situation in Iran right now. This happened Saturday night. It happened Saturday night. And you and I are following this story, and I will keep you up to date as we learn more. Summary: Israel launches attack on Iran's capital with U.S. help as tensions grew high over nuclear talks. It seems that, you ready for this? The Iranian government was not compromising. The Iranian government was not willing to mediate. They were not ready to mitigate the situation. Our leveling of their nuclear program, that was not enough to persuade them to knock it off. Nothing was enough. And so what did a real president do? He moved the battleships closer to Iran and the jets closer to Iran and the bombers closer to Iran and our incredible military capabilities closer to Iran to back Israel. This is an Israeli attack on Iran's capital. With U.S. help as tensions grew high over nuclear talks, smoke could be seen from the capital. It's about time. Now, Iran says they're going to retaliate against military targets backed by the United States throughout the region. They're going to retaliate, but they haven't yet, according to the reports that we've got today. I'm Walter M. Sterling on the Red Apple Audio Network. And as this story progresses, the information becomes available, I will share it with you on another side of midnight. Red Apple Audio.
It's another side of midnight.
Political humorist TJ McCormick.
Now to the Bernard McGurk Studios. Here's TJ McCormack.
Walter M. Sterling for TJ McCormack on the Red Apple Audio Network. Major story tonight, and you and I are keeping track of it. I will give you the updates as we get them. The President of the United States has given a major address about the fact that Israel has attacked Iran with backing from the United States, a military attack. I'm going to give you the summary, and then you and I are going to listen to the president's talk again, which summarizes what we have done and what we are going to do. And I am telling you my opinion. It's about freaking time. Israel launches attack on Iran's capital with U.S. help as tensions high over nuclear talks. Stop over nuclear talks. Here's what happened. Israel launched a daylight attack Saturday on Iran's capital with a cloud of smoke rising from the city's downtown. The first apparent strike happened near the offices of Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. The United States is participating in the strikes, according to a U.S. official. It was not clear the full extent of the American involvement. The White House declined to immediately comment. It was also wasn't immediately clear, whether the 86-year-old Khomeini had been in his office at the time. He hasn't been seen publicly in days, as tensions with the United States have grown. But the attack comes as the United States has assembled a vast fleet of fighter jets and warships in the region to try to pressure Iran into a deal over its nuclear program. There's more. Roads to Khomeini's compound in downtown Tehran has been shut down by authorities as other blasts rang out across the capital. Targets in the Israeli campaign included Iran's military, symbols of government, and intelligence targeted, according to an official briefed in the operation. As the details come, this is breaking story, this is war. As details come out, you and I will hear them. And I want you to hear the speech that the President of the United States just gave. He just gave this speech, which sums up what we were doing, why we were doing it, and what he thinks is going to happen next.
The United States military began major combat operations in Iran. Our objective is to defend the American people by eliminating imminent threats from the Iranian regime, a vicious group of very hard, terrible people. Its menacing activities directly endanger the United States, our troops, our bases overseas, and our allies throughout the world. For 47 years, the Iranian regime has chanted death to America and waged an unending campaign of bloodshed and mass murder, targeting the United States, our troops, and the innocent people in many, many countries. Among the regime's very first acts was to back a violent takeover of the U.S. Embassy in Tehran, holding dozens of American hostages for 444 days. In 1983, Iran's proxies carried out the Marine Barracks bombing in Beirut that killed 241 American military personnel. In 2000, they knew and were probably involved with the attack on the USS Cole. Many died. Iranian forces killed and maimed hundreds of American service members in Iraq. The regime's proxies have continued to launch countless attacks against American forces stationed in the Middle East in recent years, as well as U.S. naval and commercial vessels in international shipping lanes. It's been mass terror, and we're not going to put up with it any longer. From Lebanon to Yemen and Syria to Iraq, the regime has armed, trained, and funded terrorist militias that have soaked the earth with blood and guts. And it was Iran's proxy, Hamas, that launched the monstrous October 7th attacks on Israel, slaughtering more than 1,000 innocent people, including 46 Americans, while taking 12 of our citizens hostage. It was brutal, something like the world has never seen before. Iran is the world's number one state sponsor of terror and just recently killed tens of thousands of its own citizens on the street as they protested. It has always been the policy of the United States, in particular, my administration, that this terrorist regime can never have a nuclear weapon. I'll say it again. They can never have a nuclear weapon. That is why in Operation Midnight Hammer last June, we obliterated the regime's nuclear program at Fordo, Natanz, and Isfahan. After that attack, we warned them never to resume their malicious pursuit of nuclear weapons, and we sought repeatedly to make a deal. We tried. They wanted to do it. They didn't want to do it. Again, they wanted to do it. They didn't want to do it. They didn't know what was happening. They just wanted to practice evil. But Iran refused, just as it has for decades and decades. They've rejected every opportunity to renounce their nuclear ambitions, and we can't take it anymore. Instead, they attempted to rebuild their nuclear program and to continue developing long-range missiles that can now threaten our very good friends and allies in Europe, our troops stationed overseas, and could soon reach the American homeland. Just imagine how emboldened this regime would be if they ever had and actually were armed with nuclear weapons as a means to deliver their message. For these reasons, the United States military is undertaking a massive and ongoing operation to prevent this very wicked, radical dictatorship from threatening America and our core national security interests. We are going to destroy their missiles and raise their missile industry to the ground. It will be totally, again, obliterated. We are going to annihilate their Navy. We are going to ensure that the region's terrorist proxies can no longer destabilize the region or the world and attack our forces and no longer use their IEDs or roadside bombs, as they are sometimes called, to so gravely wound and kill thousands and thousands of people, including many Americans. And we will ensure that Iran does not obtain a nuclear weapon. It's a very simple message. They will never have a nuclear weapon. This regime will soon learn that no one should challenge the strength and might of the United States Armed Forces. I built and rebuilt our military in my first administration, and there is no military on earth even close to its power, strength, or sophistication. My administration has taken every possible step to minimize the risk to U.S. personnel in the region. Even so, and I do not make this statement lightly, the Iranian regime seeks to kill. The lives of courageous American heroes may be lost, and we may have casualties. That often happens in war. But we're doing this not for now. We're doing this for the future, and it is a noble mission. We pray for every service member as they selflessly risk their lives to ensure that Americans and our children will never be threatened by a nuclear-armed Iran. We ask God to protect all of our heroes in harm's way, and we trust that, with his help, the men and women of the armed forces will prevail. We have the greatest in the world, and they will prevail. To the members of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, the armed forces, and all of the police, I say tonight that you must lay down your weapons and have complete immunity, or, in the alternative, face certain death. So, lay down your arms. You will be treated fairly with total immunity, or you will face certain death. Finally, to the great, proud people of Iran, I say tonight that the hour of your freedom is at hand. Stay sheltered. Don't leave your home. It's very dangerous outside. Bombs will be dropping everywhere. When we are finished, take over your government. It will be yours to take. This will be probably your only chance for generations. For many years, you have asked for America's help, but you never got it. No president was willing to do what I am willing to do tonight. Now you have a president who is giving you what you want. So let's see how you respond. America is backing you with overwhelming strength and devastating force. Now is the time to seize control of your destiny and to unleash the prosperous and glorious future that is close within your reach. This is the moment for action. Do not let it pass. May God bless the brave men and women of America's armed forces. May God bless the United States of America. May God bless you all. Thank you.
The President of the United States, lay down your arms. He's telling the Iranians, this is your moment. When these bombs stop, you are to take over your government. You are to take control of your government. For the first time, you will have the ability to take over and control Iran the way you want. This is a tremendous gift that the President of the United States is giving the people of Iran, who in fact have wanted it for decades. They have asked for it for decades. It should be led by the women of Iran. the way the women in Iran for Sharia law, living in Sharia law, it's appalling. Absolutely appalling. Anybody who is pro the Iranian government hates women. Just a fact. One of the most shocking things, and I've found the details during this course of history, is what Barack Obama did with Iran. What Barack Obama did with Iran. If you've forgotten, I have the details. I'm going to share them with you in just seconds. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is The Other Side of Midnight on the Red Apple Audio Network.
It's Another Side of Midnight. It's Another Side of Midnight.
Political humorist T.J. McCormick.
Now, to the Bernard McGurk Studios, here's T.J. McCormick.
All right, Walter M. Sterling for T.J. McCormick this evening with the biggest story of our lifetime, which is that Israel is bombing Iran with backing from the United States of America. You just woke up, you're just greeting. Here's the information, here's the news. The United States of America is backing Iran in bombing Iran. I'm sorry. The United States of America is backing Israel in bombing Iran. Israel and the United States launched an attack on Iran Saturday morning with Iranian state media reporting explosions heard in Tehran. A security source confirmed that the United States is involved in the strikes. A U.S. official also told Reuters that American strikes in Iran were underway. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu issued a statement saying that the aim of the operation, this is poetry, the aim of the operation was to remove the Ayatollah's regime from power. It's about time. Israel went into a state of emergency Saturday morning, as the IDF sent a national warning to all citizens to stay near protected spaces. This is a proactive alert to prepare the public for the possibility of missiles being launched toward the state of Israel. Iranian officials said Tehran is preparing for a retaliatory attack. Tehran is preparing for retaliation. The response will be crushing, they say. Sirens later sounded across northern Israel at approximately 10 a.m. and across central Israel at approximately 10:30 a.m. The Iranian missile launches were detected. Mossad launched a Farsi language telegram, a special channel for Iranians to follow news updates on Saturday morning, calling out our Iranian brothers and sisters, saying that you are not alone. Iran says, we have launched a super secure and special telegram channel for you. Together, we will return Iran to its glorious days. Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, is not in Tehran and has been transferred to a secure location, an Iranian official confirmed. Iranian media reported strikes targeting the intelligence headquarters, as well as explosions in central Tehran. The country has closed its airspace in response to strikes. An Israeli security official told Reuters that the operation was planned for months, and its timing was set several weeks ago. Sources in the defense establishment stated that one of the objectives of the strikes will be to remove threats to the Israeli home front, with an emphasis on missile launchers and unmanned aerial vehicle bases. You and I will keep track of this story. We'll be on top of this story. And the President of the United States gave a summary of why he did it, what's going to happen, and what freedom and the great gift to the Iranian people that the United States of America and Israel is providing. It's an astonishing event. Here's the President of the United States.
Go. The United States military began major combat operations in Iran. Our objective is to defend the American people by eliminating imminent threats from the Iranian regime, a vicious group of very hard, terrible people. Its menacing activities directly endanger the United States, our troops, our bases overseas, and our allies throughout the world. For 47 years, the Iranian regime has chanted death to America and waged an unending campaign of bloodshed and mass murder, targeting the United States, our troops, and the innocent people in many, many countries. Among the regime's very first acts was to back a violent takeover of the U.S. Embassy in Tehran, holding dozens of American hostages for 444 days. In 1983, Iran's proxies carried out the Marine Barracks bombing in Beirut that killed 241 American military personnel. In 2000, they knew and were probably involved with the attack on the USS Cole. Many died. Iranian forces killed and maimed hundreds of American service members in Iraq. The regime's proxies have continued to launch countless attacks against American forces stationed in the Middle East in recent years, as well as U.S. naval and commercial vessels in international shipping lanes. It's been mass terror, and we're not going to put up with it any longer. From Lebanon to Yemen and Syria to Iraq, the regime has armed, trained, and funded terrorist militias that have soaked the earth with blood and guts. And it was Iran's proxy, Hamas, that launched the monstrous October 7th attacks on Israel, slaughtering more than 1,000 innocent people, including 46 Americans, while taking 12 of our citizens hostage. It was brutal, something like the world has never seen before. Iran is the world's number one state sponsor of terror and just recently killed tens of thousands of its own citizens on the street as they protested. It has always been the policy of the United States, in particular my administration, that this terrorist regime can never have a nuclear weapon. I'll say it again, they can never have a nuclear weapon. That is why in Operation Midnight Hammer last June, we obliterated the regime's nuclear program at Fordow, Natanz, and Isfahan. After that attack, we warned them never to resume their malicious pursuit of nuclear weapons, and we sought repeatedly to make a deal. We tried. They wanted to do it. They didn't want to do it. Again, they wanted to do it. They didn't want to do it. They didn't know what was happening. They just wanted to practice evil. But Iran refused, just as it has for decades and decades. They've rejected every opportunity to renounce their nuclear ambitions, and we can't take it anymore. Instead, they attempted to rebuild their nuclear program and to continue developing long-range missiles that can now threaten our very good friends and allies in Europe, our troops stationed overseas, and could soon reach the American homeland. Just imagine how emboldened this regime would be if they ever had and actually were armed with nuclear weapons as a means to deliver their message. For these reasons, the United States military is undertaking a massive and ongoing operation to prevent this very wicked, radical dictatorship from threatening America and our core national security interests. We are going to destroy their missiles and raise their missile industry to the ground. It will be totally, again, obliterated. We are going to annihilate their navy. We are going to ensure that the region's terrorist proxies can no longer destabilize the region or the world and attack our forces and no longer use their IEDs or roadside bombs, as they are sometimes called, to so gravely wound and kill thousands and thousands of people, including many Americans. And we will ensure that Iran does not obtain a nuclear weapon. It's a very simple message. They will never have a nuclear weapon. This regime will soon learn that no one should challenge the strength and might of the United States Armed Forces. I built and rebuilt our military in my first administration, and there is no military on earth even close to its power, strength, or sophistication. My administration has taken every possible step to minimize the risk to U.S. personnel in the region. Even so, and I do not make this statement lightly, the Iranian regime seeks to kill. The lives of courageous American heroes may be lost, and we may have casualties. That often happens in war. But we're doing this not for now. We're doing this for the future, and it is a noble mission. We pray for every service member as they selflessly risk their lives to ensure that Americans and our children will never be threatened by a nuclear-armed Iran. We ask God to protect all of our heroes in harm's way, and we trust that, with his help, the men and women of the armed forces will prevail. We have the greatest in the world, and they will prevail. To the members of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, the armed forces, and all of the police, I say tonight that you must lay down your weapons and have complete immunity, or in the alternative, face certain death. So lay down your arms. You will be treated fairly with total immunity, or you will face certain death. Finally, to the great, proud people of Iran, I say tonight, don't leave your home. It's very dangerous outside. Bombs will be dropping everywhere. When we are finished, take over your government. It will be yours to take. This will be probably your only chance for generations. For many years, you have asked for America's help, but you never got it. No president was willing to do what I am willing to do tonight. Now you have a president who is giving you what you want. So let's see how you respond. America is backing you with overwhelming strength and devastating force. Now is the time to seize control of your destiny and to unleash the prosperous and glorious future that is close within your reach. This is the moment for action. Do not let it pass. May God bless the brave men and women of America's armed forces. May God bless the United States of America. May God bless you all. Thank you.
An actual president, the president of the United States, talking, sounding, acting like a president of the United States. News, Iran's defense minister Hatami is dead. Iran's defense minister Hatami is dead. I'll keep you up to date. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is a live broadcast. Breaking news, live broadcast. This is the only live broadcast you're probably going to be hearing. This is the Red Apple Audio Network. We have a news department that is working right now. This is what radio news is supposed to be. I'm going to share with you 30 seconds of editorial. It is a shame that a handful of radio stations right now is able to give you this vital and important and critical information, but it includes this one. It includes this radio station on the Red Apple Audio Network. I expect dozens and dozens of radio stations to join us over the next week as news gets out that this was the primary source of information on the Iranian bombing by Israel and the United States of America. And I will tell you another secret about American radio. Right now, 90% of the radio stations available are pre-recorded. 90% of them are pre-recorded. They were the disc jockeys that you could hear on those silly little FM stations. While this is going on, they recorded their cute little barbs. Right now, they're sitting at Ruby Tuesdays. Right now, they're at Bob Evans, thinking about what are we going to do? This is the news. This is the information. The President of the United States, along with the Prime Minister of Israel, determined it was time to put an end to the crap in Iran that no president had the guts to do until now. Shame on them. And worse, that Barack Obama took $1.7 billion in cash, wrapped it up in saran wrap, put it on a pallet, put it on a jet, and sent it to Iran. What do you suppose they did with that money? They committed terrorist attacks and started to build nuclear weapons that would attack Israel and then get around to us. Yeah, way to go, Barack. Good going. How are things there in Martha's Vineyard? Oh, you're selling that house. Less popular, you need the cash. Unbelievable. The defense minister of Iran is dead. No knowledge as to where the Ayatollah is, but we'll know soon. We know that the bombs went off in their capital. And we know that Israel attacked and that we've backed them with a fleet off the coast of Iran. And it wasn't like a sneak attack. We're not malicious that way, although sometimes we should be. No, we put it out there. Hey, red flag. Hey, buddies in Iran, here's a gift for you. Ramadan's ending. This is a gift for you. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is live information, live news on Israel's attack backed by the United States of America on Iran. Red Apple Audio Network.
It's Another Side of Midnight.
Political humorist T.J. McCormick.
Now, to the Bernard McGurk Studios, here's T.J. McCormick.
All right, it's 6 minutes past the hour with Walter Sterling. Walter Sterling on the Red Apple Audio Network, live. The U.S. and Israel launched an attack Saturday on Iran, with the first apparent strike happening near the offices of Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. Do I have to continue to call him Supreme Leader? It's like a Minecraft character. Iranian media reported strikes nationwide and smoke could be seen rising from the capital. President Donald Trump said in a video posted on social media, I'm going to play for you the full video, that the U.S. had begun major combat operations in Iran. He claimed Iran has continued to develop its nuclear program and plans to develop missiles to reach the U.S. and appealed to the Iranian people to take over your government. It will be yours to take. Our president told the Iranian people to take over your government. It will be yours to take. What a powerful statement that the president of the United States, not some hobbyist, an actual president with our incredible capabilities have told the Iranian people that it's time to take over the government of Iran, which they have wanted to do at least since 1979. And every time there was a protester in the past year that went out onto the streets of Iran and said, we would like an election, we'd like democracy, they were beheaded. Yeah, good idea. Support them. What's wrong with you? Trump acknowledged that there could be American casualties following Iran strikes, saying that this often happens in war. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the joint attack was to, quote, remove an existential threat posed by Iran. One of the few times I disagree with him, this was no existential threat. This was just a threat. Iran was sitting there threatening to build nuclear weapons, having vast conventional weapons, and unbelievable anger. You and I can't imagine the level of anger and hatred that Iran has toward Israel and toward the United States of America. But we got a pretty good taste of it in 1979 when they took over our embassy in Iran and kidnapped our embassy officials and held them hostage We got a pretty good taste then. And when they were released, what did we do? We did nothing. We gave them money. We did nothing. And then because we were getting bored, Barack Obama gave them $100 million and $1.7 billion total, including interest. What a guy. Unbelievable. Our joint operation will create the conditions for the brave Iranian people to take their fate into their own hands, said Netanyahu, the same thing that our president said. Iran's paramilitary Revolutionary Guard says it's responded by launching a first wave of drones and missiles targeting Israel. It wasn't immediately clear whether the 86-year-old Khomeini was in his offices at the time of the strike. He hasn't been seen publicly in days as tensions with the United States have grown. The attack comes as the United States has assembled a vast fleet of fighter jets and warships in the region to try to pressure Iran into making a deal over its nuclear program. But they weren't making a deal. They weren't making a deal. They were being what? What? Iranians. Iran has said it hasn't enriched the uranium since June, but it has blocked international inspectors from visiting the sites America bombed during the 12-day war. Satellite photos analyzed by the Associated Press have shown new activity at two of those sites, suggesting Iran is trying to assess the potential and potentially recover material right there. Here's the President of the United States explaining what he was doing, why he was doing it, with the passion of the President of the United States, with the passion he's supposed to bring to the job. It's been so long that we've heard a leader in that position saying, this is what we're going to do. This is why we're doing it. And then resulting in a gift. Here's a gift to the Iranian people. Now, for God's sakes, pick up the gift, open it up, and take charge of your country again.
A short time ago, the United States military began major combat operations in Iran. Our objective is to defend the American people by eliminating imminent threats from the Iranian regime, a vicious group of very hard, terrible people. Its menacing activities directly endanger the United States, our troops, our bases overseas, and our allies throughout the world. For 47 years, the Iranian regime has chanted death to America and waged an unending campaign of bloodshed and mass murder, targeting the United States, our troops, and the innocent people in many, many countries. Among the regime's very first acts was to back a violent takeover of the U.S. Embassy in Tehran, holding dozens of American hostages for 444 days. In 1983, Iran's proxies carried out the Marine Barracks bombing in Beirut that killed 241 American military personnel. In 2000, they knew and were probably involved with the attack on the USS Cole. Many died. Iranian forces killed and maimed hundreds of American service members in Iraq. The regime's proxies have continued to launch countless attacks against American forces stationed in the Middle East in recent years, as well as U.S. naval and commercial vessels in international shipping lanes. It's been mass terror, and we're not going to put up with it any longer. From Lebanon to Yemen and Syria to Iraq, the regime has armed, trained, and funded terrorist militias that have soaked the earth with blood and guts. And it was Iran's proxy, Hamas, that launched the monstrous October 7th attacks on Israel, slaughtering more than 1,000 innocent people, including 46 Americans, while taking 12 of our citizens hostage. It was brutal, something like the world has never seen before. Iran is the world's number one state sponsor of terror and just recently killed tens of thousands of its own citizens on the street as they protested. It has always been the policy of the United States, in particular my administration, that this terrorist regime can never have a nuclear weapon. I'll say it again. They can never have a nuclear weapon. That is why in Operation Midnight Hammer last June, we obliterated the regime's nuclear program at Fordo, Natanz, and Isfahan. After that attack, we warned them never to resume their malicious pursuit of nuclear weapons, and we sought repeatedly to make a deal. We tried. They wanted to do it. They didn't want to do it. Again, they wanted to do it. They didn't want to do it. They didn't know what was happening. They just wanted to practice evil. But Iran refused, just as it has for decades and decades. They rejected every opportunity to renounce their nuclear ambitions, and we can't take it anymore. Instead, they attempted to rebuild their nuclear program and to continue developing long-range missiles that can now threaten our very good friends and allies in Europe, our troops stationed overseas, and could soon reach the American homeland. Just imagine how emboldened this regime would be if they ever had and actually were armed with nuclear weapons as a means to deliver their message. For these reasons, the United States military is undertaking a massive and ongoing operation to prevent this very wicked, radical dictatorship from threatening America and our core national security interests. We are going to destroy their missiles and raise their missile industry to the ground. It will be totally, again, obliterated. We are going to annihilate their navy. We are going to ensure that the region's terrorist proxies can no longer destabilize the region or the world and attack our forces and no longer use their IEDs or roadside bombs, as they are sometimes called, to so gravely wound and kill thousands and thousands of people, including many Americans. And we will ensure that Iran does not obtain a nuclear weapon. It's a very simple message. They will never have a nuclear weapon. This regime will soon learn that no one should challenge the strength and might of the United States Armed Forces. I built and rebuilt our military in my first administration, and there is no military on earth even close to its power, strength, or sophistication. My administration has taken every possible step to minimize the risk to U.S. personnel in the region. Even so, and I do not make this statement lightly, the Iranian regime seeks to kill. The lives of courageous American heroes may be lost, and we may have casualties. That often happens in war. But we're doing this not for now. We're doing this for the future, and it is a noble mission. We pray for every service member as they selflessly risk their lives to ensure that Americans and our children will never be threatened by a nuclear-armed Iran. We ask God to protect all of our heroes in harm's way. And we trust that, with his help, the men and women of the armed forces will prevail. We have the greatest in the world, and they will prevail. To the members of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, the armed forces, and all of the police, I say tonight that you must lay down your weapons and have complete immunity, or, in the alternative, face certain death. So, lay down your arms. You will be treated fairly with total immunity, or you will face certain death. Finally, to the great, proud people of Iran, I say tonight that the hour of your freedom is at hand. Stay sheltered. Don't leave your home. It's very dangerous outside. Bombs will be dropping everywhere. When we are finished, take over your government. It will be yours to take. This will be probably your only chance for generations. For many years, you have asked for America's help, but you never got it. No president was willing to do what I am willing to do tonight. Now you have a president who is giving you what you want. So let's see how you respond. America is backing you with overwhelming strength and devastating force. Now is the time to seize control of your destiny and to unleash the prosperous and glorious future that is close within your reach. This is the moment for action. Do not let it pass. May God bless the brave men and women of America's armed forces. May God bless the United States of America. May God bless you all. Thank you.
Red Apple Audio Network, Walter M. Sterling. I have young children, and you may too. I have never felt safer about having young children than finally this plague, this horror, is being eliminated. They can talk all they want about other places in the world that need to be dealt with, that need to be settled, that need to be negotiated with. It didn't matter. Until Iran was put under control, until that government has been taken out, it didn't matter. They're crazy and dangerous and vicious, just like the President of the United States just said. I feel better today, right now, than I did 6 hours ago about the safety of the world. Finally, the maniacs are being taken out. The U.S. and Israel launched airstrikes against Iran Saturday morning. Welcome. Just joining us on the Red Apple Audio Network. This is a live broadcast of major news. The attacks, which the Department of War called Operation Epic Fury, follow a massive U.S. military buildup in the Middle East and come after President Trump repeatedly warned Tehran that it would face consequences if it didn't make a deal with the U.S. Our objective is to defend the American people by eliminating imminent threats from the Iranian regime. Let me repeat that, because that's what this is. Our objective is to defend the American people by eliminating imminent threats from the Iranian regime. That's what President Trump said during his 8-minute talk that you and I just got to hear, and that I'll play again if you missed it. Its menacing activities directly endanger the United States, our troops, our bases overseas, and our allies throughout the world. For 47 years, the Iranian regime has chanted death to America and waged an unending campaign of bloodshed and mass murder targeting the United States. This is a live broadcast, 21 past the hour, 21 past the hour. The United States and Israel has attacked Tehran in Iran. I've never felt safer. Walter M. Sterling, The Other Side of Midnight, Red Apple Audio Network.
It's Another Side of Midnight. It's Another Side of Midnight.
Political humorist T.J. McCormick.
Now to the Bernard McGurk Studios. Here's T.J. McCormick.
Walter M. Sterling for T.J. McCormick. It's a live broadcast, 24 past the hour, 24 past the hour on the Red Apple Audio Network. Joint strikes with the U.S. included dozens of military targets in Iran. The regime was fortifying nuclear program. That's why we went after them. The IDF says its strikes with the United States on Iran included attacks on dozens of military targets and were carried out as part of a wide, coordinated, and joint offensive against the regime. In a statement, the military says the joint, broad, and powerful operation with the U.S. is aimed at a thorough strike against the Iranian terror regime and eliminating existential threats to the state of Israel over time. Why are they saying existential? There's nothing existential about this. This is a threat. This has been a threat there for practically 50 years, sitting there, building nuclear weapons, getting $1.5 billion from Barack Obama to build up their terror campaigns against us. All right, the Iranian regime has not abandoned its plan to destroy Israel, not an existential threat. The military says, adding that in recent months, despite the severe blow Iran sustained during June 2025's war, the IDF identified that the regime continued its attempts to fortify shield and conceal its nuclear programs alongside the rehabilitation of its missile production process. They never stop building their war machine. Who do they want? They want the United States of America, and they wanted Israel. According to the IDF, Iran had accelerated its production of ballistic missiles to dozens a month. Dozens a month. In addition, the regime continued financing, training, and arming its operatives positioned along Israel's border. Hi, we're Israel, and then right along our border, we have all these Iranian guys. Yeah, they want to talk to us, work things out, have lunch. These were the greatest threats possible. These were not existential threats. Don't use that word again. These are actions constituting an existential. There it is. It's just a threat to the state of Israel, and they pose a threat to the Middle East and the world at large. You bet. They say that in the months preceding the operation, close to joint planning was conducted between the IDF and the American military, which enabled the execution of the broad strike with maximum synchronization and coordination between the armies. The IDF, across all of its branches, undertook a meticulous and long-term preparation process for the operation, both in defense arrays and in various attacks plans. The IDF says that the operation will continue as long as necessary. Israel calls this Operations Lion Roar, and others call it Operations Epic Fury. Now, here's more news on this story. Attacks on U.S. bases in Bahrain, have begun. Arabic media reports explosions in their capital, but it's important to note that the U.S. bases were mostly evacuated earlier this month. We should also note that the attacks on U.S. bases are only according to Arabic media, not confirmed by real media. They often lie about this stuff. Of course they lie about this stuff. For the first time in years, I didn't even realize this until today, until this moment. I have young children. Maybe you have young children too. What a blessing. What a blessing. What is our primary purpose as parents? What is our primary job as parents? What is it? It's to keep those kids safe. As parents, you and I are going to make all sorts of mistakes all day, every day, and they will report to us the mistakes that we have made. But the one mistake we can't make is keeping our children safe. And the minute this story broke, that we had attacked with Israel, Iran, the minute that story broke, and that our goal was to decimate the regime that runs Iran, I can't explain it to you. I felt a burden lifted from deep inside that a major threat to my children was being eliminated. And I thank the President of the United States for that gift that I have been given, and I believe you've been given, and everyone, every Israeli has been given, that the major terrorist threat to the United States of America, to all free people, to Israel, to all free people, is being eliminated right now. It's getting cleaned up. For 49 years, we have put up with nonsense, and we've put up with a shameful president that gave them $1.7 billion. We gave them $1.7 million on a wooden pallet in an anonymous airplane wrapped in saran wrap. We flew it to them in an airplane that was unmarked. We flew it to them in an airplane. What the hell was that? I can't wait to hear what Barack Obama has to say about this attack, this necessary, essential, overdue attack by a real president of the United States of America.
A short time ago, the United States military began major combat operations in Iran. Our objective is to defend the American people by eliminating imminent threats from the Iranian regime, a vicious group of very hard, terrible people. Its menacing activities directly endanger the United States, our troops, our bases overseas, and our allies throughout the world. For 47 years, the Iranian regime has chanted death to America and waged an unending campaign of bloodshed and mass murder, targeting the United States, our troops, and the innocent people in many, many countries. Among the regime's very first acts was to back a violent takeover of the U.S. Embassy in Tehran, holding dozens of American hostages for 444 days. In 1983, Iran's proxies carried out the Marine Barracks bombing in Beirut that killed 241 American military personnel. In 2000, they knew and were probably involved with the attack on the USS Cole. Many died. Iranian forces killed and maimed hundreds of American service members in Iraq. The regime's proxies have continued to launch countless attacks against American forces stationed in the Middle East in recent years, as well as U.S. naval and commercial vessels in international shipping lanes. It's been mass terror, and we're not going to put up with it any longer. From Lebanon to Yemen and Syria to Iraq, the regime has armed, trained, and funded terrorist militias that have soaked the earth with blood and guts. And it was Iran's proxy, Hamas, that launched the monstrous October 7th attacks on Israel, slaughtering more than 1,000 innocent people, including 46 Americans, while taking 12 of our citizens hostage. It was brutal, something like the world has never seen before. Iran is the world's number one state sponsor of terror and just recently killed tens of thousands of its own citizens on the street as they protested. It has always been the policy of the United States, in particular, my administration, that this terrorist regime can never have a nuclear weapon. I'll say it again. They can never have a nuclear weapon. That is why in Operation Midnight Hammer last June, we obliterated the regime's nuclear program at Fordo, Natanz, and Isfahan. After that attack, we warned them never to resume their malicious pursuit of nuclear weapons, and we sought repeatedly to make a deal. We tried. They wanted to do it. They didn't want to do it. Again, they wanted to do it. They didn't want to do it. They didn't know what was happening. They just wanted to practice evil. But Iran refused, just as it has for decades and decades. They rejected every opportunity to renounce their nuclear ambitions, and we can't take it anymore. Instead, they attempted to rebuild their nuclear program and to continue developing long-range missiles that can now threaten our very good friends and allies in Europe, our troops stationed overseas, and could soon reach the American homeland. Just imagine how emboldened this regime would be if they ever had and actually were armed with nuclear weapons as a means to deliver their message. For these reasons, the United States military is undertaking a massive and ongoing operation to prevent this very wicked, radical dictatorship from threatening America and our core national security interests. We are going to destroy their missiles and raise their missile industry to the ground. It will be totally, again, obliterated. We are going to annihilate their navy. We are going to ensure that the region's terrorist proxies can no longer destabilize the region or the world and attack our forces and no longer use their IEDs or roadside bombs, as they are sometimes called, to so gravely wound and kill thousands and thousands of people, including many Americans. And we will ensure that Iran does not obtain a nuclear weapon. It's a very simple message. They will never have a nuclear weapon. This regime will soon learn that no one should challenge the strength and might of the United States Armed Forces. I built and rebuilt our military in my first administration, and there is no military on earth even close to its power, strength, or sophistication. My administration has taken every possible step to minimize the risk to U.S. personnel in the region. Even so, and I do not make this statement lightly, the Iranian regime seeks to kill. The lives of courageous American heroes may be lost, and we may have casualties. That often happens in war. But we're doing this not for now. We're doing this for the future, and it is a noble mission. We pray for every service member as they selflessly risk their lives to ensure that Americans and our children will never be threatened by a nuclear-armed Iran. We ask God to protect all of our heroes in harm's way, and we trust that, with his help, the men and women of the armed forces will prevail. We have the greatest in the world, and they will prevail. To the members of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, the armed forces, and all of the police, I say tonight that you must lay down your weapons and have complete immunity, or in the alternative, face certain death. So lay down your arms. You will be treated fairly with total immunity, or you will face certain death. Finally, to the great, proud people of Iran, I say tonight that the hour of your freedom is at hand. Stay sheltered. Don't leave your home. It's very dangerous outside. Bombs will be dropping everywhere. When we are finished, take over your government. It will be yours to take. This will be probably your only chance for generations. For many years, you have asked for America's help, but you never got it. No president was willing to do what I am willing to do tonight. Now you have a president who is giving you what you want. So let's see how you respond. America is backing you with overwhelming strength and devastating force. Now is the time to seize control of your destiny and to unleash the prosperous and glorious future that is close within your reach. This is the moment for action. Do not let it pass. May God bless the brave men and women of America's armed forces. May God bless the United States of America. May God bless you all. Thank you.
38 past the hour, live radio, Red Apple Audio Network, Walter Sterling. What is confirmed are two Iranian missile strikes on Israel. There are two Iranian missile strikes have attacked Israel, but both were intercepted. No casualties, no damage. Iran retaliated with two missile strikes against Israel, but both were intercepted because Israel and the United States have superior weapons. We intercepted the missile strikes from Iran. No casualties, no damage. So far, Iranian response is minuscule because currently the IDF Air Force is targeting Western Iran, where most military installations are targeted. Now, right now, there are many sirens in Jerusalem right now, but still no injuries reported. Of course, there are many sirens in Jerusalem to let the people of Jerusalem know, stay inside, stay home. Let the great military forces take care of Iran swiftly, brilliantly, surgically, and the entire world will be safer. And the entire world will be safer. You and I have children, and our children will grow up in a much safer world than we're in for the past 49 years, with clownish presidents giving terrorists $1.7 billion. I will never get over that. And other presidents looking the other way, doing nothing, wanting to split hava with them, make everything nice. There was nothing nice. The first clue was the Iranians took over our embassy, took members of our embassy, executives of our embassy, hostage, held us up for money, a lot of money. That would have been the first clue. And the minute they were released, we should have leveled the place. And you know we should have leveled it. I'm Walter M. Sterling. It's 40 past the hour. This is the Red Apple Audio Network.
It's Another Side of Midnight. It's Another Side of Midnight.
Political humorist T.J. McCormick.
Now, to the Bernard McGurk Studios, here's T.J. McCormack. T.J. McCormack.
Walter M. Sterling for T.J. McCormack on the Red Apple Audio Network. Iran's foreign ministry responded to a joint U.S.-Israel attack on Saturday by saying that the country will not hesitate in its response to the strikes. In a statement posted the time has come to defend the homeland and confront the enemy's military assault. Yeah. Dubai. The U.S. and Israel launched a major attack on targets across Iran on Saturday. U.S. President Donald Trump called on the Iranian people to take over your government. It's an extraordinary appeal that suggested the allies could be seeking an end to the country's theocracy after decades of tension. I got to read this. This is the Associated Press. The Associated Press is saying this. The U.S. and Israel launched a major attack on targets across Iran on Saturday, and U.S. President Donald Trump called on the Iranian people to take over your government. And now the AP writes, that's an extraordinary appeal that suggested the allies could be seeking to end the country's theocracy after decades of tensions. An extraordinary appeal that suggested, that's not a suggestion. That's a direct order. Those bombs from Israel, those bombs backed by the United States of America attacking Iranian capital, Tehran, that's not a suggestion. Those are bombs. Those are bombs designed to end that horrendous regime that is the worst possible living conditions. Let's say you don't like what the Ayatollah is doing or saying. Let's say you want to have a democracy in Iran. Okay, we're going to chop off your head. That's what's been going on. They have chopped off the heads of apparently dozens and dozens of protesters over the past year that have protested the Capitol and made it clear that they would like a democracy and an election. They've called for elections. Everybody holds up a sign that says we'd like an election. They get their heads chopped off. That's what that country is. That's how they've handled all protests for the past 49 years. It's terrifying. But what I know is that the minute the United States and Israel started bombing them and got serious about leveling Tehran and getting rid of that government, the minute that started, I felt safer. How about you? Do you feel safer now? I can't explain it, but the minute it happened inside, I felt a relief, like, oh, thank God. And then I realized what a burden this has been to the United States of America ever since they took over our embassy. Ever since they took over our embassy in 1979 and 1980, this has been a profound threat to us, because the response that we gave when the hostages were released, when our embassy workers were released, was inappropriate. We did nothing. Yes, even though it was Ronald Reagan, right-wing, militaristic kind of guy, even though it was Ronald Reagan and those hostages were released, we should have leveled the place. What do you mean you took 60 of our hostages? You took our embassy workers. You took our embassy workers and here, have some ice cream. Thanks for letting them go. It's basically what we did. We didn't do anything. And over again, we didn't do anything. Oh, we gave them a Christmas gift. $1.7 billion. Thank you, Barack Obama. On a wooden pallet. That's not hyperbole. It was a wooden pallet with saran wrap. You ever been to Miami? In Miami, at the luggage, they have something I've never seen at any other airport. Maybe you have. They'll wrap your luggage in Saran wrap. No, really. They have machines that wrap your luggage in Saran wrap to prevent things from being stolen. That's how they prevent things from being stolen there. The thievery of the luggage in Miami is so profound that they need to wrap it in plastic. Well, that's what we did. We took $1.7 billion, we wrapped it in plastic, put it on a wooden pallet, and sent it in an anonymous, unmarked airplane. Barack Obama did that on his last day as an act of cowardice. If he meant it, he would have put it on that pallet, I don't know, midterm, midway through his election, midway through his term. But we have a real president now, and our real president owes nobody nothing. He looked at the situation and correctly assessed that this was a profound threat to our best ally, Israel, profound threat to the peaceful nations of the Middle East, and a profound threat to the United States of America. Iran, profound threat to the United States of America. With the money they have, the military capabilities Iran has, but mostly with the blind anger they hold toward the United States and the blind rage that Iranian government holds toward Israel, this was a constant threat. It was not an existential threat, some SAT word. That's a lot of crap. This was a profound threat, a vicious threat, and nonstop. This was every hour. One of those clowns over there was saying, "Oh, death to America, death to America, death to America." And we sat on our hands. For decades, we sat on our hands. It took a real president stepping up with a real Secretary of War and the best military on earth, combined with our ally, Israel, and their determination to keep Israel safe and to keep the people of Israel safe and to keep the surrounding Arabic countries safe. It took all of that to say, all right, we have had enough. We brought up these ships, brought them on your coast, and made it clear that we were going to bomb you. Can we negotiate now? They didn't negotiate. We took out most of their nuclear capability. Did they negotiate? No, the Iranians did not negotiate. They continued to say, no, we're going to do these other things and make America ticked off. Good morning. 50 minutes past the hour. If you're just joining the Red Apple Audio Network, I'm Walter Sterling. Major news overnight. I'm going to give you the update. I will give you the latest news, and we will keep you informed throughout the day on this radio station, because this is what? An actual radio station. This is not a best of from Thursday. This is actual live radio, as the way God meant it to be. Breaking news. Dubai, United Arab Emirates. The U.S. and Israel launched a major attack on targets across Iran Saturday, and the U.S. President Donald Trump called on the Iranian people to take over your government. The first strikes of the attack appeared to target the compound home of Iran's 86-year-old supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. Why do I have to call him a supreme leader? That's like a character in a video game. Let's just call him a jerk. Iran's jerk. It wasn't immediately clear if he was there at the time. Smoke could be seen rising from the Iranian capital. They don't believe he was actually there. Too bad. For 47 years, the Iranian regime has chanted death to America and waged an unending campaign of bloodshed and mass murder, targeting the United States, our troops, and the innocent people in many, many, many countries. Trump said in a video posted on social media that sought to justify the attacks. He urged Iranians to take cover during the strikes, but then, when we are finished, take over your government it will be yours to take. What poetry, what beautiful words those must be to the oppressed people of Iran who have had relatives and friends had their heads chopped off for saying, we'd like a democracy, please. We'd like to be able to vote. We don't think you should be attacking Israel. We don't think you should be threatening the entire Middle East. We don't think you should be screaming death to America for 47 years. When we are finished, said our president, take over your government, it will be yours to take. Take over your government, it will be yours to take. The only way that the president of the United States could say that is if he was ready to back up those people right next to them, to fight right next to them, to walk into those, to the Capitol, to walk into that government and say, we're in charge now. We had to be standing next to them. He knows he can do that. Now, the attack quickly expanded beyond Iran. Iran's paramilitary Revolutionary Guard, it's like Minecraft, said it responded by launching a first wave of drones and missiles targeting Israel, where a nationwide warning was issued, as the military said to bring down Iranian fire. Meanwhile, Bahrain said that a missile attack targeted the U.S. Navy's Fifth Fleet headquarters in the island kingdom. Witnesses heard sirens, explosions in Kuwait, home to U.S. Army Central. Explosions could be heard in Qatar. That's what's going on in the Middle East. And you will have live updates, everything you need to know from the Red Apple Audio Network, everything you need to know from these radio stations, because this is what radio is supposed to do. Radio is not supposed to shut down on the weekends. Radio is supposed to be alive whenever you and I are alive and the news is breaking and the information is flowing in quickly, and you will be kept up to date. You will be kept up to date at the Red Apple Audio Network. Good evening. Good morning. This is the story. You're just waking up. This is the story. Iran's foreign ministry responded to a joint U.S.-Israel attack on Saturday by saying that the country will not hesitate in its response to the strikes. In a statement posted on X, the ministry said the time has come to defend the homeland and confront the enemy's military assault. Well, the United States and Israel assaulted Iran last night. They're a little slow so far with their announcements, but this is what they're announcing, that hey, we're going to put up some drones. We're going to win this. We're going to give the people of Iran the freedom they've deserved for 49 years, to get away from people in strange hats, to be able to escape this and to run their country as a democracy as they deserve to run it. And the president of the United States has said, I've had enough. He's had enough. He doesn't want this to continue. This is not going to continue. And he's emboldening the people of Iran to take back their country, to run their country, and to be free of the fear. That's unbelievable. Qatar now claiming that it's shooting down incoming Iranian missiles. IDF warning all Iranians near military bases to evacuate immediately. Almost a total internet blackout in Iran. In Bahrain right now. And we should note that the attacks on U.S. bases are only according to Arabic media. It's not confirmed. They lie about stuff all the time. What is confirmed is that there are two Iranian missile strikes on Israel, both intercepted. Two Iranian missile strikes attacked Israel, but we intercepted them with our superior weaponry. No casualties or real damage. So far, Iranian response is minuscule. It's silly. Currently, the IDF Air Force is targeting Western Iran, where most military installations are located. Many sirens in Israel right now, in Jerusalem right now, but still no injuries reported. Those sirens are to protect the population of Israel, to warn them, stay inside. This is going to go on. Protect your family, because when this is done, When the President of the United States and the Prime Minister of Israel is done with Iran, finally, the Middle East will have a level of safety it has not had in 50 years. Finally, the United States of America will have a level of safety it has not had in 50 years, because there won't be a country shouting every day, death to America, death to America. And Walter Sterling does not want to hear one person anywhere ever this week saying, oh, we really should have worked things out with Iran. This was very unfair. They're going to be idiots saying that. You realize they're going to be idiots saying that, oh, this was very unfair. We didn't give them a chance. We could have continued negotiating with them. No, no, there's no negotiating with Iran. And finally, a president of the United States has noted the obvious. There's no negotiating with Iran. They are not an existential threat. They are a real threat. They have always been a major threat. They already kidnapped people in our embassy. They've already killed hundreds, maybe thousands of their own people for saying, gee, we'd like to vote. Could we vote? Bahrain. Yes, got it. Got it, boss. Walter M. Sterling. The United States of America and Israel has attacked Tehran, hoping to take out that miserable, rotten government. This is The Other Side of Midnight on the Red Apple Audio Network.